This episode of the Lawyers Hip Hop Happy Hour is sponsored by the Law Offices of Alfred Guillaume III, a boutique criminal defense firm located in Washington, D.C. The firm specializes in defending federal criminal cases. You can learn more about the firm by visiting our website at guillaumelaw.com. That's GUILLAUME law.com. Welcome to part two of my interview with attorney Brandi Harden. Country rap tunes. That's the phrase that comes to mind when I think of Brandi's love of hip hop. Brandi does not mince words in the courtroom or about her favorite musical artist in the game. In this interview, we do a deep dive into all things Texas, from UGK to Ghetto Boys to the DOC, and of course, we touch on Tupac. But my absolute favorite part of this interview was learning about her personal connection to one of my all-time favorite artists, Miss Erykah Badu. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. I will catch you on the B-side. Welcome back to the Lawyers Hip Hop Happy Hour. We have arrived to my favorite part of this interview with my good friend, attorney Brandi Harden. We are going to talk about music.
Love it.
And before we even get started, I'm going to just say that we have a special connection already because you are from the great state of Texas.
That's right. D-Town.
You are from Dallas, Texas.
Yep. The home of Badu.
Right. You stole my thunder. I'm trying to do a lead up to one of my favorite artists of all time. That is Miss Erykah Badu. As everyone who listens to this podcast and who knows about this podcast, that we have our guests go through the crates before they come in and choose the records that we have in the studio at the time that they have a special connection with. And you not only have a connection with these records with Miss Erykah Badu, you actually have a real connection with Miss Badu, which I will have you explain.
Sure. Right so now. Let me first say, I am so lucky to be from the same state that she's from.
She's an amazing artist.
She is absolutely amazing. And listen.
First album, Badu, is in 1996, changed my life.
Listen, these are some of the best albums out. I must say.
Timeless.
She really is my favorite artist.
She's amazing.
So it's not just that I have a connection. I basically was like, you know, running behind her, chasing her, like, because I love her. Luckily that I knew some folks that knew her.
So you know folks that know. So let's kind of unpack all of this.
Sure.
So you're a number one fan, as
Absolutely.
Am I. But you not only are, many people who are number one fans may never actually meet the artist. You have been in Miss Badu's presence many times.
I have. I luckily have. It is such an honor, seriously, too.
I mean, I'm so jealous right now.
Don't be jealous. Green eyes don't suit you well.
Green eyes.
They do not suit you well.
From her sophomore album, which of the two albums is my, of the two, the first two albums is my, of all her albums, is my favorite album. And it actually, you know what, since we're talking about
Mama's Gun.
Mama's Gun is an album that you chose.
It is awesome. Yes.
From the crates, from Miss Badu. We're going to talk about how you know her and your connection to her in a moment. But since you chose this album, we're mentioning it. This is one of my all-time favorite albums. From Miss Erykah Badu. It's my favorite album of hers and one of my all-time favorite albums just in general. Can you take a look at this album
and
tell me what is your favorite song? I know you just mentioned Green Eyes.
I'm not even turn it over.
Don't turn it over.
Because you
Don't
know what? I know what song it is. Okay. Orange Moon.
Orange Moon.
It is so awesome. I'm not even going to try to sing.
I did try to sing.
So awesome.
Na, 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 na.
Yeah. Orange Moon is my favorite.
And
really,
song.
It's so hard to say that's my favorite because Kiss Me on My Neck is Ooh. Also amazing.
Amazing.
But if I had to pick a song, Orange Moon is my favorite, and then probably Green Eyes, Kiss Me on My Neck.
That is, you know what, my youngest daughter's favorite song is Green Eyes. And I don't know if you've ever, I think we might have talked about this. I saw Erykah Badu on the Tiny Desk. The NPR Tiny Desk.
Yes.
And she performed that song, amongst others. That was one of the greatest videos I've ever seen. I mean, I'm a huge fan of hers.
Should I admit I didn't see the Tiny Desk? You think I should admit it or I shouldn't admit it? Because I definitely didn't watch The Tiny Desk. I should have seen it, but I didn't.
Well, you still can. It's just, you right, go to
that's
YouTube.
Right. That's right. And you can watch it anytime.
Before we even go any further about the songs on the record, what is your connection? How did you develop this actual personal connection with her?
So actually her, I guess it's called the, it's not the band director, but
musical,
I don't know,
director?
Called, yeah, MD, is RC Williams. And he's my friend. He went to the University of North Texas. He's a Kappa. He's somebody that I know. And because he was in the band, him and another gentleman named Sput.
They were on the Tiny Desk.
Right. And so I don't know if Sput was, I don't think he plays for it anymore, but Sput now has a group called Snarky Puppy. And RC has a group called The Grits. And so I've known them since college, both of them. And so, you know, I would go to the show and I would see RC there and he would say, do you want to come backstage? Or I would say, he probably didn't say, do you want to come?
Right,
I probably
but,
say,
you know,
can I come?
History.
And then he would, you know, make a way for me to come backstage. This is all when they would come to DC.
And what years would this be? What are we talking about? The first album came out in 1996.
Yeah, way. Oh, no, this is like, so this
is into
the, I was
a sophomore in college.
I mean, this is way into the 2000s when
she's
Erykah Badu
really
would come. Yes, when she would come to the Meriwether Post Pavilion.
In Maryland.
Right. And so I went to that show, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. And then wow. She would have shows. Maybe she had a show at the Fillmore
in Silver Spring,
yeah,
Maryland.
Absolutely. Right.
There's been a few shows
yep.
there.
Yep. So said. I would just get to, you know, I would see them. He would let me know he's coming in town. He's cool people. He's my friend. And so
RC,
since we
I'm also cool people, so I would also like to
right.
maybe next time you
the
come in town, I'd like to attend the show. I would be honored if you would give me the opportunity to meet one of my musical idols.
No, yeah, she's awesome. She's awesome.
She is awesome.
Her sister has children in Dallas. Her sister's children went to a school called Charles Rice, and my mom was the community liaison at Charles Rice.
Wow.
So again, it's so small, right? It's such a small city, and that was in South Dallas. You know, she always shouts out South Dallas.
Shout out South Dallas.
South
she's
Dallas.
Also a Brooklyn person as well.
Is that right?
Yeah, she's-
That part I didn't know.
Right, right, right. She has a, you know, again, I don't know Erykah, but from what I understand, she has a home in Brooklyn as well as in Texas.
If somebody asked me, what's your favorite artist? I mean, besides Tupac Shakur, it would definitely
right.
be Erykah
gotten
Badu.
There yet, but
yeah, it's definitely Erykah Badu.
So we have two albums that you chose. Her first two albums, Erykah Badu, Baduism is the first one, and the second one is Mama's Gun. And they're amazing albums. And I think that, in my opinion, her second album is my favorite. But her first album was absolutely groundbreaking.
Yeah, groundbreaking. For
different.
Sure.
I was a sophomore in college. I remember it very well. I had never heard anything like it. And she's never disappointed me.
No, I agree.
Ever. Anything that she's ever produced. You know, my favorite Erykah Badu song is Hello. Have you ever heard that song? It's with Andre 3000.
Hello. Yeah. I don't want to try to like
right,
get
right.
anything, no kind of little singing into this, but yes, I've heard it. I've heard every song she's ever made, including Southern Girl. Have you heard that song? It's Southern Girl, G-U-L.
Southern Girl, the Frankie Beverly song, Southern Girl?
Nah,
was it a remake of that?
Nah, I don't think so. It was just her doing her own thing. And it's not on any album. That's what I mean. Like, you would have to know it's sort of underground.
Right. See, I have never heard that song.
I'm going to send it to you.
And I could, please do. I consider myself a huge fan.
No, yeah, it's awesome.
The live album was great as well. When she, the live version of Tyrone.
Amazing.
Amazing. You can't miss with this woman.
And then, you know, it was a really big deal in my city that she did Window Seat. And as you know, she walked down where JFK was killed and was in the video naked and was causing all kinds of drama. I think they also gave her a ticket in Dallas. Like, it was a big thing that
I
they
might
had,
recall
like,
that.
You know.
You know, I remember her from Dave Chappelle's Block Party. I mean, that
so
was...
So I didn't really watch Block Party either.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean...
It's never too late.
That's
it's
right.
never too late.
That's
you,
right. The internet never forgets.
Not only... I actually own that. I'll give... I mean, look. confession. I have the DVD.
Yep. Loving Block. It like that. Loving
I mean,
it.
That's how much I love it. I bought it. I don't think people even use DVDs anymore. I have a DVD player. I watch various things on DVD from time to time. And Dave Chappelle Block Party is one of them. You had Common... Kanye, Jill Scott, Erykah Badu, some of my favorite artists. John Legend was in it as well. Dead Prez. It was, they had all had fame at that point. Most Def, shout out to Most Def. How can I forget Most Def? Black Thought was in there as well. It could not, it was, they were famous, but they were not, Questlove as well. They had not achieved superstardom
right, just yet
at that point, especially Kanye. I think Black Party was released in 2004, thereabouts. Talib Kweli was in there too. How can I forget my main shout? Shout out Brooklyn. Shout out Talib Kweli. Shout out Dave Chappelle. Little C's was in it as well. So, you know,
shout out to the whole video that I didn't see.
Clearly,
shout out
to everybody. Clearly, I watched this a lot of times. But I remember Erykah Badu in the movie and the documentary. And I remember there's a moment in there where there's a wig she has on. It flies off because the weather, yeah, it's raining and the wind blows.
And she just keeps it off like, hey, listen, life is what it is.
She's awesome.
She's like, it is what it is.
If I ever get a chance to meet her, the next time that you and I hang out and we meet her, I will ask her.
That's right. You'll ask her all these questions.
I'll ask her about that moment.
Absolutely. I'm hoping I can still make it happen. I don't know. You know, the last couple of Erykah Badu shows I didn't go to.
I've just been to
27 million, 50-11,
right,
as they say.
That's what
I've been to 50-11 shows. I've been to 50-11 shows for sure.
You know, you mentioned the man who...
Let me just say one more thing.
Yes.
I need to say, Erykah Badu, I apologize, because she came this year and she did a show with a go-go band that she has never done. So she's never, so
explain
like,
to I think our listeners Junkyard. who may not know what a go-go band is.
Listen, it is the native music of the District of Columbia. You know, there's a movement that says don't mute the go-go, because at one point on Florida Avenue, it was playing really loud and sort of folks were like, this is too much music and we want you to turn it down. And
so go-go is a music that is from the District of Columbia. It's from African-American artists primarily.
Absolutely.
And many go-go bands play covers of other songs, but some go-go bands play their own original music.
Yes.
And it's live music with instruments.
Always.
I've been to, since I've been living here, a few shows myself. And before we started the cameras, you told me that I was too bougie, that I went to a very bougie go-go show.
Although I started at Tacoma Station, I just found the more
authentic,
invested. Right, yeah, that's a good word, authentic. Authentic 35, shout out DSTE, Authentic 35. But yes, the more authentic go-go places that have, you know, just awesome, awesome bands. And she played with, I think, Junkyard Band, although... quote me. I don't want to get it wrong. Who have she played with? She played Sardines, and it was so
Sardines
jamming.
Is a DC song. Classic. And we'll probably, we have a behind the scenes where I do of these of the episodes, and I talk about different music. So I probably will play some go-go music because we've had this discussion to expose those people who do not know. The most famous go-go song that everybody probably knows is, can you guess? You know.
3 in the morning, the Pancake House.
Well, that's a famous song if you lived here for a while. Correct. But I was talking about The Butt from EU.
Oh, that's right. That's right. From school days.
From school days. That's where it came. That's where it was first, I think, broadcast to the rest of the world.
And that's EU and Sugar Bear.
Correct.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Yeah, Doing the Butt. I think most people know that song. Even if they don't know that it's go-go, they've probably heard it. But that was a very popular song in the late 80s. I think 1987, 89 is when I want to say that.
Yeah, that's about right. And so I apologize basically to Erykah that I didn't show up to that last show.
Erykah, she's sorry, and we'll make it up next time
that's
we see
right,
you.
We will make it up.
So you mentioned a man that I don't want to waste any time getting to, that before we even turn the cameras on, you actually requested that I have his photo up.
That's right.
You requested that I have multiple
That's
albums.
Right. I have a shrine in my house as well. So wherever I go, there needs to be a shrine of him at all times.
And that is, of course, the incomparable Tupac Shakur. You chose...
Are you going to have some hands clapping in the background or something? I don't know. It's something... There needs to be some fanfare.
We'll go back, and when we edit this, you'll hear lots of sound effects that...
Good, because there needs to be something. Yes.
You chose... my favorite album of Tupac's,
yes,
which is Me Against the World, and I don't know if you need to refresh your recollection as to what your favorite song is. I will give you the record just in case.
Yes,
I can
because
tell you what mine is.
You know,
it's been a while. Yeah. This was 1993.
This just ain't it.
I can tell you what mine is while you're looking. I'll tell you that my favorite song is Lord Knows.
You know what? I don't really. What's my favorite song here? I guess.
Another favorite song of mine is Death Around the Corner.
Death Around the Corner.
Right.
Death Around the Corner. And then you just gotta give him credit for Dear Mama.
Of course,
you
Dear
just,
Mama.
It just, you can't really be in the album and right. not just say,
no, that's probably,
I this would say is that, where it's at.
That might say that's his most famous song.
Exactly. Right? You know what I mean? So I love this album only because I love Tupac so much.
Talk about
Can You Get Away with Real Jammin'
Can too. You Get Away, you know, it has a great sample from Frankie Beverly and
that's
Mary's.
Right, that's exactly right. Right, that's why it's so jamming,
right?
Actually,
and are you a so we dug through the crates before we even get to that. I'm gonna just take a just go off something for a second. Mm-hmm. Are you a Mays fan?
Yes, but only because my mama was. Shout out to my mama.
Shout out to my mama. Being from New Orleans, we are, most of us are huge Mays fans.
Frankie Beverly
and Mays. There was a live album. I think it was in the other crate that I didn't bring in. That's a shot that was recorded in 1984 at the Sanger Theater in New Orleans with Mays. It's a live album. It's one of my favorite albums, Mays Live in New Orleans at the Sanger Theater. Anyway, back to Tupac. There was a sample on the Can You Get Away song from Mays.
He's awesome,
but this is the album, and I'm gonna say that you gave me a little bit of a hard time, and you said that is this the only Tupac album
like,
you have?
What is going on? Where's the double CD?
All
and
Eyes
where's
on
Machiavelli?
Me. And Machiavelli,
like,
both released when I was in college, 96 and 98 were the two release dates.
Yeah, I was in law school in one of them, and the other one I was in undergrad, pledging,
getting
ready.
Online.
That's
shout out
right.
to your sorority.
That's
again,
right. Shout out to DST.
Delta Sigma Theta
Sorority Incorporated.
Right. And which chapter?
Alpha Chapter.
Okay.
Alpha Chapter.
There you go.
Spring 96, Authentic 35. And if you had to guess, I'm not the tail. I'm not the last person on the line. But if you had to guess what my number was, what would you guess?
32.
34.
Oh.
34. So yeah, Tupac is my absolute favorite. And I think you asked me sort of why or sort of where I got that
from.
Well,
you already kind of explained that you were, you know, hip hop, music in general, is the soundtrack to our lives, right? So you associate Tupac with a time in your life that was very important when you were online pledging your beloved sorority, and also when you were in law school, another great time in your life.
To be honest, though, I really liked Pac, even though I wasn't really into the album as much, when he did Brenda's Got a Baby.
Right.
So even before these other albums became so popular and he was such a big superstar, I was into Tupac as an individual, as a man, as a rapper. And I've always loved him, but the most, you know,
did you listen to Tupac when he was on with Digital Underground?
I did. I mean,
did
I just
love him as
I just
much?
Listened. No,
was,
I didn't love him
different.
As much, but I did love Humpty Hump. Right?
Right.
So like if you put him on, then I'm with that,
right,
and I'm with y'all.
He was down with Digital Underground first.
Absolutely.
Before kind of breaking out to his solo career, and then of course when he was passed away, was associated with the Death Row Records.
Yes.
But this record, Me Against the World, to me, it's not a Death Row record.
It's not.
It's Pac by himself. And it's, I'm going to say, at his most comfortable, even though I think he was in prison, if I'm not mistaken, or shortly thereafter, shortly before this album was released. And to me, it's the most pure Pac sound. It's, he finally found his voice, in my opinion.
I think that's about right.
On this record.
Because, you know, not to say that the first album was not the best. I just wasn't as into it as I was the subsequent albums. And so Me Against the World was great. I used to play it from beginning to end. But
right.
then when the other albums came out, All Eyes on Me,
All Eyes
and then
on
Machiavelli.
Me.
Right. I mean.
And then Machiavelli was the last album that was released. It actually came out when he had recently passed away.
Right.
And then he had a few posthumous albums after that.
I didn't hear any of them.
I heard some, but I did not give them as much credibility as the ones when he was alive. I think the most famous Pac album, probably if you ask a group of 100 people, they go 90-something% are going to say All Eyes on Me, the double CD. That's
yep.
or the double album. That's the one people know the most.
For
but
sure.
The real Pac heads like you.
That's
and,
right.
And others.
That's right.
are going to reference Me Against the World and other. They're strictly for my ends. This is a family show.
That's right. It is a family show. We don't talk like that.
Right. Oh, was another record. You know, and I don't even need to ask you this because I already know the answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
Okay.
Tupac or Biggie?
There's only one answer. Just like Section 2, It is all about Tupac.
Right.
So let me say this. In all honesty, I loved Biggie's album. I was up here in New York. I hadn't really had a chance. I mean, I'm just saying, I'm from the South, right? So I'm all about country rap tunes.
Country rap. We're going to get to that.
So I just hadn't really had a chance to appreciate Biggie or East Coast music in that way. I mean, of course, Paid in Full, Eric B. and Rakim, Big Daddy Kane. I mean, I could appreciate it, but I couldn't really appreciate it like that. And so when I heard Biggie's album,
the first album,
I'm giving him all due credit. It was totally jamming. He just ain't better than Pop.
So so Biggie, when he was alive, had two albums, Ready to Die, Life After Death. Pac had more than two albums released in his lifetime. I want to say he had four or five. The ones that I know the best are Me Against the World, All Eyes on Me, and Machiavelli, all classic albums. But I'm going to not necessarily disagree with you, but just say that my preference is Biggie. But I love Pac, and there's no one that's ever sounded like him before or since.
You know, and what's so unique for me, I mean, both of them were great rappers, but what was so great about Pac to me was Afeni Shakur, her...
Tupac's mother.
That's right, his mom, and his black consciousness.
Right.
That just surpassed it all for me. And
so you like conscious rap?
I do. But I also grew up in Texas where that just wasn't a thing, right? And so to be...
Did you like X-Clan? Do you know about X-Clan?
I don't really.
No, that was a very... That's a very niche.
I remember hearing it.
The Vainglorious. Do you remember? Yeah.
Nope. Right off the side. But I really did just like that about him. I thought he brought a lot of confidence.
Right.
I also am into the fact that he's super handsome. Well, you know, hey. So there's that. I love that. And I just love that. That's right. That's right. And then look at that level of confidence. Like that combination to me said a lot. And then there was just a lot of stuff that was happening with him that was in the public eye. And I just felt like he was standing up for himself. I came up at a time when C. Dolores Tucker was saying
he famously mentioned her in
that's
the song.
Right, that's right. He absolutely did.
And it was with an expletive.
It was a total expletive.
Right.
I just was appreciative of the fact that he was willing to stand up in that way. It was certainly, you know,
generation, someone from our generation that was different and maybe she didn't understand. I agree with you.
And it's just so funny. Like you see this parental advisory that's on the album because he was willing to say controversial things, but also be conscious about the things that he was saying. And I think Dear Mama for me, not only was it something that I loved, I mean, I didn't have the same
struggles. Have you seen the documentary that's on Hulu?
I have not.
You should probably check that out.
I'm always like on the verge of being a fan, but not all the way being a fan.
You are a fan. You're 100% fan. I haven't seen it either.
Of course, you're probably not going to watch it. I did love the fact that he was conscious and that he was bold and sort of in his own lane. And for me,
he definitely was in his own lane.
Right. And for me, that was all it took.
Now, you mentioned something a moment ago that I'm familiar with, and some people may not be, which is country rap tunes.
Country rap tunes. That's where it all began.
A famous line by a famous man.
Absolutely.
In Texas.
In UGK.
And Underground Kings.
That's right.
Now, we do not have, I was going to say, there's no Underground Kings albums.
How is that possible?
In the studio. But it does not mean that I'm not a fan.
I don't. I mean, help me understand.
When we first met each other, one of the things we were talking about at some point was music. And you mentioned, you know, I asked you, were you a fan of hip hop? Because I'm a fan of hip hop.
For sure.
And your answer was Pimp C.
That's right. Cause you're Pimp C. Tunes. Sweet Pimp James C. Jones. Tony Snow. whoever you want him to be.
So even though we don't have his record on the table, talk about your love of UGK, Pimp C, and all things Texas and hip hop.
So, you know, I don't even really know why I have, I think part of the reason I have such a strong love for them is because they're from my hood. Right?
Of course. Like they're from, we always want to represent.
That's right. They're from my town, Port Arthur. So first of all, UGK was not big. Like that's why you don't have an album in the studio. Because,
well, I've been listening to UGK for a long time.
I'm just saying that like they were just big where we were. They weren't big everywhere.
Right.
And it was very controversial. I don't know that the world knows this, but it was very controversial for Pimp C to agree with Bun B to do that album with Jay-Z. Because they were like, we're not really...
Right. Oh. The album came out in 98, Big Pimpin'.
Right.
Was the first time that many people outside of the South heard UGK and knew who they were. Because Pocket Full of Stones, which was like 1992, and even like the other album, which is one of my favorite records of all time, is the song Murder. The way the beat comes in on that song and the bass
is so awesome.
It's ridiculous.
Diamonds up against that wood.
Right. Diamonds up against that wood.
Seriously. I mean.
So for us, I mean, I say it all the time. I'm from the South. I'm from New Orleans. New York's in my soul, but my blood is in the South.
For sure.
So I knew I was on UGK way back then. But you're right. In 1998 was the first time that many people knew
anything about it.
About UGK. You
know? And I think, you know, for me, I've listened to a lot of, unlike, you know, sort of saying I haven't seen some of the things that are on film with Erykah Badu, I have watched probably every Pimp C interview there was. And there was also a
true number one fan.
Now, you're talking about your DVDs. I got a DVD of Pimp C that's called Pimpalation.
Wow.
And it is a DVD. And there's a lot of songs, but there's also several interviews of him.
I've never heard of that.
And it was just great. I think, you know, who he was as a man, who he stood for in terms of his family was all just great. And so I think the reason I repped UGK so much is because they were from Port Arthur, Texas.
Shout out to UGK.
Geographically,
tell me how close. I always thought UGK was from South Texas. Am I wrong about
that? No, they're closer to Houston.
Okay.
But because Dallas and Houston are about the same distance from New York to D.C. It's about 4 hours.
Wow. Texas is so huge. Let me just say, Texas is ginormous. Shout out to my main man, Ezekiel Tyson, who's an attorney in Texas. I tried to refer him a case.
And he was like, Doug, that's too far.
He said, that's 8 hours away.
I mean, what do you say?
I said, in the same state?
He's like, yep.
He said, yes.
So, I mean, I loved them because they were from our town. Same is true for Ghetto Boys. Same is true for Jay Prince. Same is true for all of them. Rap-A-Lot. That's just where it started for me. Rap-A-Lot was the first ones on the scene, and then it just sort of morphed into UGK.
Yeah, it's so great that you bring up the Ghetto Boys. Ghetto Boys, Bushwick Bill, Scarface, Willie D. I mean, I was a kid. I don't remember. I guess the first. I think the first album was released in '89.
That's about right.
My Playing Tricks on Me around that time, late '80s. One of the best opening lines in hip hop history. Okay, that Scarface is.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Ghetto Boys says. So I don't know. What's Scarface, the one?
I sit alone in my four corner room staring at candles. I mean,
absolutely.
Can you think of a better line?
No, seriously. Seriously, that was some awesome, awesome music.
I mean, I was a kid. I had to tape the Ghetto Boys tape. I remember they were in the hospital. Bushwick Bill had the crazy eye.
That messed up eye.
Yes, ma'am.
He was in a gurney.
Yes, ma'am. So, shout out Ghetto Boys. Shout out. And I don't know. I always talk about this. In many episodes, I've talked about this. But I want to ask you, do you know? Did you know, you've been in D.C. a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that native Washingtonians
love Scarface?
Yo!
I went to the concerts and I was like, oh, this is a thing.
It's a thing, right?
I also think I got backstage at the Scarface concert,
Wait,
too.
What?
Man, listen. You
when
know
you're
trial
a pretty
lawyers,
lady,
listen,
you get back where you
know
you
how
are.
Trial lawyers do it?
No.
But that's true. Like, I was so shocked. I mean, they love Scarface. I was just so happy to be able to go to a Scarface concert in D.C.
Wow, yeah, I had no idea.
Until
shout out to my main man, Vanny Taylor, who made me aware of that. But
it was awesome. And just to be able to have face here was just great.
He is an all-time great, definitely. You know, and again, I want to just give myself a pass, okay? So the records that we have in the studio are not all the records that I own, one. And some of the records that have been re-released, when I was a kid buying a lot of these, I had the tapes, all
right? That's right. That's true.
So some of the records haven't been
re-released on vinyl.
So that's why we don't have the records in the studio. So clearly.
You can get a pass.
I can get a pass.
You can get a little pass, but where the tapes at? I mean, also it's so funny because I don't even think, I mean, I literally do have a few tapes. I don't even think you can find anything to play them on unless you have something old to play them on from back in your day.
In the next room.
You have a tape player?
I have a tape player. I do.
Oh, you're kind of old school for real.
I'm an old school dude. And you know why? This is a really nerdy answer. I'm going to tell it to you because you're a trial attorney. Because the reason I have a tape player is because I have old Supreme Court oral arguments that I listened to
wow.
on the tape. That's why I bought it.
You're just a legal nerd. I'm with it. I'm with it. That's awesome.
I mean, it's crazy, right?
And quite honestly, like you said, if they haven't been re-released on vinyl, it's good to just have them if you still got your tapes. Why not right. have a cassette player so that you can at least listen to that stuff?
But I don't even Did have any of these tapes I bought. Pin and I'll take the pin. In and out. Absolutely.
If it break, you take a little piece of tape
and put it.
Can you believe that used to work?
It used to work.
It used to skip a little bit, but you still can jam it.
Right.
So yeah, that was awesome.
It was awesome.
So, good times.
Good times. And it brings us to another album, which is around this, at least around the same time, 1988.
Mm-hmm.
I was 11-ish years old and that when it was released.
Mm-hmm. I can't say I was that age.
You were only a couple of years older.
Nah.
Which, an album that you chose is the monumental, and this is a very popular album with guests.
Seriously.
Straight Outta Compton.
Straight Outta Compton.
From the group N.W.A.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to L.A. Shout out to my mom, who's from L.A. And
my mom went to school in California, not quite L.A., but she went to Southern Cal, so nice. Or Cal State. She went to Cal State, so yeah, you know, shout out
California.
To California. That's right. Shout out to California. And, you know, folks from the South are always migrating up to California right, and getting better opportunities.
Right, I have a bunch of folks of mine. Besides that, for my daddy's family, they live in L.A.
For sure.
And my mother is an L.A. native, and this was one of the first rap tapes, like that wasn't a vinyl album ahead mm-hmm. of time, that I bought Straight Outta Compton. My favorite song is Dope Man. I know it's not the most positive message in the world.
Sorry, it was jamming song.
It's jamming. What is, I'm going to ask you
okay,
what
see.
Your favorite song on this album is.
My favorite song.
And what you were doing at the time when you, how old were you? What part of life were you
in? 1988. Oh, 1988. Yeah. So I was in my first year of high school, I guess. Yeah, 88. I graduated from high school in 91. So this was my, you know, 87. I got into high school. This is my first year. So, you know, exploding on the scene like that, I was just so excited.
I wish I was in high school when this record came out.
I bet you do. It was just, you know, imagine this, living in Texas and having a group of folks that were willing to go this hard was just awesome. And I grew up and was old enough to appreciate what had happened with Rodney King, right? So that was a
Rodney
whole thing.
King
and
1992, when he was severely beaten by the LAPD and, you know, as criminal lawyers, that's so crazy, you think about it. Those four, I think it was four or five officers, were all acquitted.
I know that's part of it, right? Like, it's not just that Rodney King had a situation, that the officers were actually acquitted of what we saw then,
well,
which plain as day, them just beating him up on the side of the road.
Right.
I don't know. I don't have a favorite song on this album. I just love the album.
You know what? I say that it's probably the strongest album to come out of California of all time. Some people may disagree with that.
That's probably too much for me, but
it's that important.
It is.
And
it is
ushered
important.
In a whole era, which leads me to the next album that you chose.
Yes,
which is Dr. Dre's classic 1992
album. This
album,
was wow, right?
The Chronic.
Goodness gracious!
Now, this is an album.
This was just so jamming. You want me to tell you?
Tell me what you remember, how you felt.
Oh,
what it was.
This was an awesome, awesome, awesome album. And I think, again, just like I say with NWA, both NWA and The Chronic, I played from beginning to end.
But for real,
The Chronic was played from beginning to end all the time.
And we want to shout out, you know, we look right behind your shoulder here. We had to shout out to DOC, who was.
Because you know he's from Dallas. And you know he got a baby with Erykah Badu.
Yo,
just so we're clear, it's a full circle situation going on here.
Honestly,
I'm just saying.
I now that you say that, I kind of remember that. But when I chose the album, it was very intentional that I chose that album to display so the camera would pick it up. I wasn't even thinking that.
I'm just telling you, this is a full circle situation going on here.
That is wow.
Their baby is Puma. She's also awesome. And DOC was just instrumental in a whole lot of stuff going on in Dallas, obviously in this LA scene.
So my favorite song is Let Me Ride. I'm going to go ahead.
No, me too.
Oh!
Yeah, me too. We have finally found. That's what I was just about to say.
I was trying to say it real fast.
Yep, Let Me Ride. I got to admit, that is my favorite song on this album.
Yo, it is an amazing song. And there's a remix to that song, too. It's a really long song.
It is long. It is long. But I love that part of it.
It has the Jamaican influence.
I love it.
Brandy, before you leave.
Yes.
You know, we've been talking a lot of hip hop.
For sure.
And, of course, we started off talking about one of our favorite artists of all time, Erykah Badu, which I'm so glad that I'm now able to finally meet her. And I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, we are going to hook that up very soon.
But one of the albums that you chose was from another all-time great, and that is the incomparable Sade, who is one of my all-time favorites. You chose the album Stronger Than Pride, and I'm going to go ahead and steal your thunder. I don't know what you're going to say.
I want to steal my thunder.
But my favorite song is the title track, Love Is. I'm not going to sing. I was about to try
Please
to sing.
Please don't. No, you can probably sing good. I can't sing. You probably can't sing.
I think in my mind I can sing real good. Love Is Stronger Than Pride. Love is stronger than pride. That's a beautiful song.
It is. And
I'm gonna show once you pass me the record, mm-hmm. I'm gonna show the camera the beautiful face of
because she's amazing.
She's amazing.
And how does she just
she looks the
age
same now
backwards.
Right. She looks the same now that she did then, yeah. And we're like 30 plus years removed.
Paradise.
Paradise. Great song.
Oh, seriously. Great song. Great seriously. Song. Awesome. Look at that.
Awesome. Look
but
at
that's
her.
Crazy that she looks the same she now, the but same. She's over 60.
She's over 60. She might even be.
Yeah, pushing 68-ish. Right. Like, she is amazing. And her sound is just so unmatched.
Yeah.
Like, there is just nobody who can touch her.
There's nobody. There's no one that has a voice like that. And it's just, I mean, I'm speechless. I mean, there's no words to describe her style and her voice.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm not even going to try.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And you know, she has another album, obviously, and I love the songs there too. But Sade is just in a class of her own.
She's in a class of her own. My other, one of my favorite Sade songs is No Ordinary Love.
No Ordinary Love. Absolutely one of my faves.
Favorite song. I love the title of that song. I would, you know, I'm not a tattoo person. But if
me
I
neither.
Was.
Are you in the no tattoo gang?
I'm in the no tattoo gang.
Me too.
Are you?
I'm totally in the no tattoo gang.
It's our generation. that's right.
But my grandma was like, you don't defile your body like that. Don't be putting that stuff on your body. So again, I'm from the generation where when your grandma and them say something, you just do what they say.
You just do because they knew. They knew better than us.
That's right.
And we didn't talk about this in your other interview, but just before we get out of here, I want to ask your family, your mom, your grandmother, everyone, Texas-based? Everybody's from Texas?
Everybody. From the country in Texas. Marlin, Texas. Tyler, Texas. Then we finally got to Dallas.
We have the Africa to Texas connection.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what it is.
Awesome.
And we didn't get a chance to talk about it a lot, but, you know, the 13th Amendment meant a lot to me and that whole, you know, what it
Let's
actually
talk about
says.
It. We have, there's
we,
no
we
time
do.
Limits.
And I just feel like, you know, seeing what's in the 13th Amendment, which is slavery is abolished, but then there's a comma and like a dot, dot, dot. Except. I mean, why would there ever be an exception?
Why would there be an exception?
An exception in what way? And actually, let's talk about this. Louisiana is like the best example of how there's a comma and a dot, dot, dot.
We have lots of commas and dots.
Slavery is abolished except as punishment for crime whereof the person shall have been duly convicted. So now it's like, okay, so if you've been convicted of a crime, we cool with slavery.
Right.
And Angola could not be a better example of what they mean when they say the 13th Amendment is still in full effect.
And have you seen the film about Angola?
Well, is it called Angola?
No,
or just about Brian Stevenson?
The document, The Farm,
no.
Right.
Because I know it. I don't need to see it, but
right.
I mean,
so the fact that you even know that is really impressive.
Right. I mean, I investigated in the South. I worked at the Southern Center for Human Rights, which is an anti-death penalty firm. So, I mean, I know what it is, but also growing up in Texas, right, where Juneteenth was not a celebrated federal holiday.
Right.
And that was all
shout
about
out to
letting
Juneteenth. Shout out to Texas.
Seriously,
don't,
shout out.
Don't mess with Texas.
For real, don't mess with us. But again, letting the slaves go 2 years late, those are things that, you know, were in my mind.
Can you imagine? 2 years.
What you mean? Y'all just didn't let us know.
One day.
So we just kept on going.
Kept on going.
So again, those kind of things really mattered to me. And I think, you know, that's part of how I come to music. That's part of how I look at certain things. That's part of why I like the certain music that I like. And certainly, taking us full circle back to Tupac and his Black consciousness, I mean, like, if you are talking about Black conscious issues, I'm standing with you.
Absolutely. And he really was. Brandy, I don't know that we can end on a better note than that. I want to thank you for coming in, sharing your story, sharing your musical knowledge with us, and sharing. Sure. So we ended our first interview with me begging you for a job. We're going to end the second interview with me begging you for an invitation to meet one of my favorite artists.
Come on, dude. I'm going to find a way to make it happen. We are definitely going to make it happen.
So I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you for doing the podcast, for opening the eyes of everybody to the world of hip hop, to the world of lawyering, not just any kind of lawyering, but criminal defense lawyering, which was taught to us at Howard University through Charles Hamilton Houston. Like,
right.
We stand on the shoulders of those giants, and I appreciate the podcast, and I appreciate you for having me. So thank you.
Thank you so much, and I hope you come back and join us real soon.
I definitely will.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Lawyers Hip Hop Happy Hour. Please subscribe to this podcast. It's available everywhere, including Apple, Spotify, and Amazon. New episodes are released on the 12th of each month. And if you'd like to see the video version of any interview, they can be found on my YouTube page at the Lawyers Hip Hop Happy Hour. Thank you for your support, and I'll catch you on the B-side.